got to trust your instincts about the places where you want to work. Try and work at somewhere where you really believe in the content or the product or the service.
Welcome to Communicating Purpose. I'm John Higginson, founder of purpose-led communications agency Higginson Strategy. Higginson Strategy is a PR and public affairs specialist that supports organizations making the world a better place. Today, I'm joined by Dan Phelan, Director of Communications at the Natural History Museum. Before joining the museum, Dan worked in senior communications roles at the BBC, Which, Channel 4, English National Opera, and the Barbican Centre. Dan, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Can you start by telling us a bit more about your journey to where you are today?
Hi, John. Well, first of all, thanks very much for inviting me. Great to be on the show. Yeah, so my journey started quite some time ago. My first PR job was at Channel 4. And I got that job actually by phoning the head of press and leaving a message on her phone every day for a fortnight. I managed to ring her number out of somebody I met at a barbecue. And eventually the office manager called me back and said, look, could you please stop leaving messages on my boss's phone? If you really want to come in for a couple of days. You can help us, you know, make the tea, etc. I managed to convince them to let me write a press release and landed my first job in PR. And then I spent a few years at Channel 4. I then left for the BBC, and that's where I kind of picked up a lot of my really useful experience and training and kind of did what a lot of people do at the BBC and kind of rose through the ranks and had the privilege of doing interesting jobs working on different content. And then I branched out to the culture sector, in particular English National Opera. I was there for a couple of years as director of comms. Following that, spent a couple of years freelancing, working as a consultant, building up a client base, back into the media, at the BBC, and then finally where I am now, Natural History Museum.
Great. And I think that's a really good bit of advice there, the way that you got your first job, really hammering away. And it's funny, in 8 years of being a boss of a communications organisation, I've only had very few people actually send their CVs to me on spec. I actually had one posted to me yesterday, which I thought was a really good touch. And I always look at them. And actually, a lot of people that have sent on spec have actually ended up getting jobs. So if anyone's listening to this that is looking to get into communications, it's a really good way of doing it. We don't even post on Indeed anymore. We get too many applications through that way. But very few people look for the PR firm that they want to work for or the organization they want to work for and do a cold approach. And I think it actually really works.
I agree. And sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you, but I was just going to say that, you know, and yeah, it doesn't happen to me either. And I would never not look at a CV that somebody sent me or not read a letter that somebody wrote to me. Mm.
So just elaborate a bit on the Natural History Museum's mission. Obviously, it is a world famous museum. What's your communication strategy then?
Yeah, so most people know the museum as a visitor attraction. We're very successful at that and famous for that. We're the fourth most visited museum in the world. We're kind of neck and neck with the British Museum when it comes to the most popular indoor visitor attraction in the UK. But actually, we were set up not just as a museum, but as a centre for scientific research. So our founder, Richard Owen, nearly 150 years ago, had a vision for a cathedral to nature. And there were two parts of that, the museum, so showing the wonders of nature, and also a hub for scientific research. 150 years later, we've got a collection of 80 million objects from the natural world, spanning billions of years. And our scientists, and in fact, scientists all over the world, use the data that that collection contains to help them understand the past, the present, and try and understand what the future might be of the natural world. So when it comes to the comms strategy, actually the comms and PR team here spend a lot of time placing stories about the scientific research that our scientists do. That's research into biodiversity loss, habitat change, climate change, emergent diseases, all the big kind of existential questions that are facing humans at the moment. So they do a great job doing that, as well as, of course, publicising our amazing exhibitions. And then since I've been here, we've gone through a big piece of brand work. So we've rebranded the museum, marketing team have led that. We've changed our brand, and the new brand we think really helps people understand we're not just a visitor attraction, but we're also a scientific research centre. And then, of course, working across digital, as I do, so the website and the our social media channels really helps. I can really support colleagues to get a consistent message about who we are through all of our channels, whether they're earned, owned, or bought media.
And yeah, as you say, everyone knows it as that visitor attraction. And I remember coming, it's such an amazing building to start with, even from the outside. When you look at it from the outside, you look up and you can see different gargoyles and animals on the balustrades. And then going in and seeing, I think it's a Diplodocus, isn't it, as you come into the lobby.
Anymore, actually. It's a whale. Yeah, it's Hope the whale. It's a blue whale skeleton.
Of course, yeah.
And
yeah.
The reason we have Hope there is that the blue whale population last century was hunted to near extinction. Then humans made an intervention and banned it, whaling. And then and now the population has begun to recover. So it's a really powerful reminder that we can do positive things to support the natural world.
Yeah, well, that's a great positive story, and thanks for that reminder. It is a blue whale now, and it was a Diplodocus when I was a child, but actually when I brought my own children along, they'll have that memory of the sheer size of a blue whale, which is huge, hung there above, and it's just, as you come in, you know, there's that sense of excitement from the moment you come in, you just hit with that bang, you know, the sheer size. And children and adults alike love coming to that, but it's great how you're using the visual and using the old museum for other positive things to talk about the science and other things you've got there. You've got a really long and successful career. What's been one of your biggest communications wins over the years?
Well, you know, recency bias or means that I always think about the work that I've done here with the team. And like all organisations that rely on public visitors, we were hit really hard by COVID. And actually working together to support the recovery of the museum and not just get to where we were, which was around number four in terms of, you know, visitor attractions, but to get to number one was a massive team effort and a massive win for all of us. But I wouldn't have been able to do that. I'm obviously, in my role, I'm supporting people strategically, but I wouldn't have been able to do those things without picking up some of the skills from past jobs. And I was thinking today, actually, in particular about my work at the BBC and working as part of the investigative documentaries team. And I learned so much doing that. So these were working with journalists, program makers, lawyers, policy advisors, editorial policy advisors, to publicize documentaries, which really made a difference. So writing social wrongs. I worked on the Rough Justice series years ago. Programs about uncovering racism in public institutions like the Greater Manchester Police. So I'm really proud of that work because it had a real social impact and it really taught me a lot about public relations.
Great. And have you got any things that felt potentially like failures at the time or were very challenging that you particularly learnt from or set you up for later success?
I think probably the most challenging time for me was when I left the BBC for English National Opera. English National Opera is an amazing creative organisation, as anybody who's been to one of their performances will tell you. But they've always had quite a challenging business model. They have some public funding, and like almost all of the organisations I've worked for, it's a blend of public funding and self-generated income. And at the time, ENO had a bit of a tricksy relationship with the Arts Council. So the first thing that I did was work with colleagues to write the case of support, and that was successful, and we got our grant in aid. But then the following season was really, really challenging. It was a very, very creative, ambitious programme of content. But for some of the productions, we weren't selling as many tickets as we'd like to. And when the business model is under pressure like that, things can get a little bit tricky, a bit political. And I guess that with more experience, I probably would have been able to ride that out, but I didn't. And then, so I was only there for about 12 months. And after that, I was freelancing at the time of a recession, actually. So that was a big challenge. And I had to, you know, build up my client base and keep things going during a difficult time. But I learned so much from both experiences. I tried new things, and that eventually led me to the Consumers Association. Most people know its brand name, Which. And after a short stint there, I was back into the media again. Mm.
Well, each of the organisations you've worked for are all well known, actually, and they're all brands and organisations that people already have quite a relationship with. So it's I'm sure in part about protecting those and knowing that you come in and that you're not telling someone about your organisation for the first time, but you're sometimes trying to manage that and change perceptions and stuff. What are your favourite forms of media for talking to the public?
That's a really good question. I think broadcast is fantastic if you've got the right spokespeople to put forward. I think it's whether you're managing reputation or promoting a product, broadcast is fantastic, because if you've got people who are adept at media, and I was lucky enough to work with lots of people at the BBC who were just that, then that kind of direct communication from person to person is really, really effective. And obviously, through the course of my career, it's become easier and easier to put people like that right in front of audiences, whether that's through YouTube or other digital platforms, you know. So I'd say that's probably my top kind of media, where you've got somebody either talking or being interviewed, and they can kind of communicate really directly with audiences.
And what do you read, watch, or listen to yourself when you hit the weekend? You're no longer working, you're no longer having to read the cuttings that come through to you.
I listen to lots of podcasts. I tend to listen to stuff that isn't anything to do with work. So love Up in Smoke, which is a kind of murder mystery podcast, which has just landed on Spotify. Been listening to Americast on BBC Sounds, which I think is brilliant coverage of the US elections. Smartless, which is a really silly celebrity broadcast from famous Hollywood actors. And I can listen to those whatever I'm doing at the weekend. So that's my go-to.
Yeah, and we know what the result of the US election is now. So we're slightly despondent on that, I know. If you had one message for your younger self, what would it be?
I'd say don't worry. You know, and it's easy to worry when you're young and forget to have fun, but you've got to kind of trust your instincts. Trust your instincts about the places where you want to work. Work at the place, try and work at somewhere where you really believe in the content or the product or the service. Try and listen to people, especially people who've had a bit more experience than you have. Be kind. Assume that people have good intentions. Don't chase the money. Those kinds of things.
Great. And final question. If you could have dinner with anyone, alive or dead, who would you like to be sat around having dinner with?
That's an easy one for me. I'd like to have dinner with my dad. He died when I was quite young, and he was a teacher, so he had nothing to do with public relations. But I would love to have the chance to sit down with him as an adult, ask him questions about his life, and see what he thought of mine.
Oh, how wonderful. Dan Phelan, Director of Communications at the Natural History Museum. You've been speaking to me, John Higginson, on Communicating Purpose. If you'd like to know more about how Higginson's strategy supports purpose-led organisations, please visit higginsonstrategy.com.